Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. We have a great show with a wonderful guest who is extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of how multifamily pricing actually works. Joining me in the studio is an expert on multifamily pricing, the great Dom Beveridge, a principal with 20 for 20. Welcome, Dom.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Yes, it is. And great to have you back. Seems like it was just last week we had this discussion. But I want to ask you about multifamily pricing, revenue management. It is something that is a hot topic, specifically now, because there happen to be some lawsuits that are out there, and we'll get into a little more of that. But talk a little bit about revenue management, how it gets started in multifamily.
Yes, well, a lot to think about there. It's generally very important that people understand this right now, because obviously it's a very hot topic in the industry. And I just to give you a bit of background, let's look at it two different ways. So first of all, every landlord has to set prices, right? Everyone has to decide what rent they're going to charge for their units. Whether you own one unit or you own 100,000 units, you have to decide what the price is going to be. And if anyone's got any experience of ever having, you know, rented out a property or a room in a property or anything like that before, you sort of know how you go about it, right? You look at what the prices are out there in the market. You understand what the costs are associated with that property that you're trying to rent out. And for as long as there have been rental properties, people have had intuitions, ways of figuring out how much they're going to charge. Revenue management puts discipline around that process. It replaces gut instinct with data. It uses math rather than pure intuition to figure out what rents you should charge. And that's essentially the function that it performs in the industry. Over, you know, two decades really of having revenue management in multifamily, those processes have become pretty sophisticated. You know, it's a very professional segment of the profession in the industry right now. Lots of people have been doing this for a long time, have a high degree of expertise in it. It's essentially a good way to think about it is kind of formalizing and making disciplined those processes for setting prices. Just to give you a tiny bit of background on the technology part of it, and generally the process part of it, it all originated from the airlines, right? Back in 1978, during the Carter administration, we had the Airline Deregulation Act. What that meant was suddenly airlines had to figure out how to compete with one another. And one of those problems that you've got with airlines is that if we can use price differently to win business away from one another, we need a way to figure out what price, you know, this particular seat on this particular flight on this particular date should be. That's a very, very complicated thing to think about. There's lots of different drivers of how busy flights are and ultimately how much each seat is worth on each flight. To solve that problem, they came up with this technology, this sort of mathematics that figures out relative pricing. And that then kind of changed the way that airlines approached strategy and, you know, commercial strategy. Hotel companies next got on board in the early 1990s. A few other industries, rental car, air cargo, passenger rail, like lots of other companies that have similar kind of problems. And really this got its foothold in multifamily around the late 1990s. And I think the first ever property to go live on a revenue management system was in 2000. So that's kind of how we got started and what it's all about. Just one thing before we go on, though, just in the context of all this stuff, these lawsuits and the articles that we're seeing in the industry, I do think it's genuinely very important that people just have a level of understanding of what this is about. I published this piece last week in MFE, talking about how people tend to think about revenue management just in terms of rent increases. I know we're going to go on to talk more about this, but I just wanted to flag that the main purpose of this discussion is to give people a bit of a grounding to help them understand what's going on.
Yeah, and I'm referencing, you just did as well, the fact that there are some class action lawsuits facing the industry. Talk a little bit about what those are and where they are now.
Yes, yeah, so the gist of it is that the lawsuits are claiming that revenue management works very, very differently from how it does. The first step in this process, at least publicly, the first step in this process was that this activist news outlet, ProPublica, published this long article that attempted to make the case that by doing revenue management, the companies or the properties in a given market are engaging in what they call cartel pricing. So it's not the case that they're each doing the thing that I just described, right? They're each figuring out the demand impact affecting their business and pricing accordingly. What they're alleging is that all of these companies are getting together, and together they are seeking to control the market. So together we can make the prices go up or down to an artificial level that they would not otherwise reach. That's what the allegations are all about. And that is fundamentally not at all how revenue management works. It's not how the technology works. But that's the basis of the allegations that are being made. To sort of go a step further into that, the examples that they use, it's really important people understand this is about this concept of cartel pricing, like so companies getting together to manipulate the market artificially. The examples that they use in ProPublica are from, for example, the lumber industry in the 1900s. So there was this apparently a famous lawsuit in the early 1900s where lumber providers got together and decided to cut lumber supply to make the price of lumber go up. I mean, you can see how that would work in a consolidated industry like lumber in the early 1900s, a long time before you had like the internet and things right. like that, which made it obvious what prices were. So they're using this precedent as a way of saying, well, obviously by doing revenue management, what the multifamily industry is doing is something similar to what those lumber providers were doing back in the early 1900s, which is of course complete nonsense.
Yeah, well, you know, what little I know about pricing and revenue management doesn't seem like that you could get the people in the room to agree to anything in the multifamily industry. I mean, everybody got such different missions and motivations out there. Talk a little bit about why it doesn't work in multifamily, why this cartel pricing wouldn't work.
Yeah, so we just published this white paper, which really drills into three really big reasons why this would not work in multifamily. But the core thing to understand about and the main point that the white paper seeks to help people understand is not only is it not true that multifamily is running a cartel, it isn't even possible. Like, you couldn't do this if you wanted to. And there are three main reasons for that. The first is that this is an incredibly fragmented industry. Right, there are thousands, like many thousands, of different companies that constitute the supply of apartments in this industry. So, if you went into any market, if you tried to get even most of the players in the market around a table to do something as complicated as manipulating pricing, you would have to get hundreds of different actors into the room to get them to agree on stuff. So just the scale and the fragmentation of the industry just make it infeasible that you could exert that level of control on a market at all. The second thing, like on top of that, every single building, every multifamily property, it represents a different like allocation of capital, right? Like each building is a project. It's at a different stage in an investment life cycle. It has different financial stakeholders. They have different objectives. You know, somebody who does value add repositioning does not want the same thing as a public REIT that holds its properties for, you know, decades at a time. Because the strategies, the purpose of the investment with regards to capital is completely different. You couldn't come up with a set of recommendations that would suit everybody. So number one, we've got far too many different people to make this possible. Number two, those people don't want the same thing. And then number three, there's this issue of feasibility. It's actually hard to set prices. To set prices for one building at a time is difficult. You have to take a lot of different data points into account. You have to crunch a lot of numbers. The recommendation that a revenue management system would make is often different from what you would intuitively make, which means people push back on it. There's a lot of argument about all this stuff for one property. Mm. If we imagine getting 100 people in a room to review recommendations based on the trade-offs across an entire market, there's never been a piece of technology created that can handle that level of complexity, and B, nobody would ever agree on anything.
I think that's the key right there. All right, well, we're going to break it here. We're going to be back right after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Say goodbye to pen and paper processes, labor shortages, and unhappy residents, and say hello to HappyCo, the only multifamily platform that supports every stage of your property lifecycle. Improve your portfolio with Happy Asset, the ROI-driving asset optimization solution for owners, acquisition directors, and asset managers. Manage your portfolio with Happy Property, a suite of intuitive tools that streamline operations, empower teams, and delight residents. Service your portfolio with Happy Force, an always-on remote maintenance workforce for multifamily specialists designed to increase resident satisfaction. HappyCo, multifamily solutions to smile about. For more information, visit the website at happy.co.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And today we're discussing the topic of how multifamily pricing actually works. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me in the studio is an expert when it comes to multifamily pricing, the fantastic Dom Beveridge, a principal with 20 for 20. I want to remind our listeners that if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Dom, in the first segment, we talked about kind of where pricing and revenue management came from in how it got into the multifamily industry, and also the timeliness of what's going on now with some lawsuits that are out there. But let's talk specifically more, take a deeper dive into really how revenue management works in the industry. And I know you've got a strong background in that, so educate our listeners on that.
Yeah, so we tend to think about pricing and revenue management in multifamily in terms of rent increases, right? And we'll come on to talk about that a little more later. But we just tend to think about it the way that, I mean, you know how, for example, Uber has surge pricing, right? Where when it's busy, the price goes up. And I think people tend to think about revenue management like that. The thing is, that doesn't work in multifamily at all. And the reason for that is that in multifamily, you have to balance this supply of apartments against the the demand out there in the market, which fluctuates through the year. So it's really important to understand the sort of underlying dynamics of the industry. So we mentioned this earlier, like all revenue management industries have a fixed capacity of stuff to sell. So we talked earlier about how you have to trade off these different conditions. But if you think about how people are motivated to price stuff, a small property that doesn't have that many units to sell can't look at the market the same way as a really big property with many, many units to sell, right? The risk associated with, for example, dropping a point of occupancy. You know, if I'm a 50 unit property, a 2% drop in my occupancy is one unit, right? I can remedy that problem with one lease, right? If I'm a 1,000 unit property, 2% drop is 20 units, and that if that particular drop comes at a time where demand isn't strong for that property, I'm now in a hole that's very difficult to get out of. So the fact that my capacity, the stuff that I have to sell is different, completely dominates the way that I make decisions about pricing, right? That's one idea, the fact that the capacity of stuff that I have to sell is fixed. The other thing that we didn't talk about yet is seasonality, right? So one of the weird things that the ProPublica article and the allegations talk about is this idea that sometimes you can make more money at a lower occupancy, right? So if my occupancy goes from 96% to 94%, sometimes I can make more money in that scenario. That it's really obvious why that is if you understand revenue management, because sometimes if you imagine the example of trying to sell apartments in Minneapolis in January, very, very hard to do, right? Nobody really wants to move house in the Midwest, upper Midwest in the middle of the winter. If I'm trying to sell apartments, if I've got a vacant apartment during that period, my choice is either I have to make a pretty steep discount to get somebody to move. Like, there's very few renters out there, so I have to incentivize them very heavily to come rent my apartment rather than somebody else's. Or I wait until the spring, right? So I leave my prices where they are. If someone wants to rent with me, great. But if they don't, I'm going to lose a couple of months of rent, but I'm not going to have to give away the discount. In multifamily, because we have these long lease durations, right? Every decision that we make has probably an 18-month impact on my finances, right? So if I'm in Minneapolis and I offer that really deep discount, that affects me for the 12 months of the lease. But then also, leases have about a 50% likelihood of renewal, so you're going to have that discount for like 18 months. So that's a long time to have a discount on one of your units. So the thing that revenue management is doing is it's saying, all right, well, if we could lose a couple of months of revenue if we don't drop our price, but if we hold our price where it is, the amount of money, additional money we'll make over the next 18 months means that we're better off sticking to our guns, right? So it's making those trade-offs based on the longer-term view of the revenue performance of a property. That's quite hard to do in your head, right? Mm-hmm. And that's really one of the reasons why you need revenue management software, because it's able to take that longer-term perspective. So thinking about that example, that's a good example of seasonality, right? So you can't really do anything about the fact that nobody wants to move house in Minneapolis in December, right? Mm-hmm. That's due to seasonal factors in the market. On top of that, you've got the prevailing economic conditions. At the moment, we've got rents going down across many markets in the U.S. Like, good times don't last forever,
right?
So, you know, you've got a combination of apartments are generally more or less desirable at different times of year. People are more or less willing to move in. And the revenue management software is basically making sense of all of that to sort of tell you, well, if you do this, you're going to make more money. And sometimes that means we're going to put the price up. Most of the time, it doesn't. Most of the time, it means we're not going to do anything, or maybe we're even going to put the price down. Again, if we think about that Minneapolis example, what you really want over the long term is to have as few apartments leases expiring during the month of December as you possibly can. And, and a good solution to that might be, all right, well, we're going to offer you a steep discount on your unit if you're going to rent for 9 months instead of 12 months, right? So because although I'm going to lose money over the next 9 months, I know that I'm not going to have that problem again next December. So again, because revenue management is looking further out into the future and helping you figure those problems out, it's basically trying to help you keep a healthier rent roll based on all this different data. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. And I mean, going back to the impossibility of having collusion in the industry, I mean, it's just, it's so complicated. As you said, it's very hard to do on the fly in your head. You've got to have this kind of this ability to do that. Everybody's got different, you know, when I talk to folks in the industry, leaders, they, everybody's got different goals. They got different ownership. They've got different ways of doing business and approaching things. But I guess revenue management gives them the opportunity to maximize the what they can do at the apartments.
Yeah, exactly. And the complexity you talk about, it's, again, an important thing to understand about multifamily relative to other industries. Because we have long leases, that makes the picture much more complicated than it is for a hotel. I mean, I worked for years in the hotel industry. Like the hotels turn over every 1.5 days.
Yeah.
So the worst mistake you could ever make is going to last you a day and a half in hospitality. Now, again, if you think about what a market looks like, every property in the market leased up at a different time, like different time of year, different pace. That means that at any one time, you know, if there's 20 different apartment complexes in a submarket, they all have different expirations. It's different types of apartments. It's three beds, it's two beds, it's studios. They're coming up at different times of the year. Some of them are coming up at favorable times of the year. Some of them are coming up as unfavorable, like our Minneapolis in January example. And so what revenue management is doing is it's trying to manage that inventory of expirations that come up at different times of the year and balance them as best it can against the demand, right? So in an ideal world, I want all of my apartments to expire whenever there are the most people who want to rent apartments,
right?
That's the easy button, right? Yeah. But the trouble is it's very hard to get to that state because, again, different buildings lease up at different times. That means your expirations are very, very random. Again, it's another reason why you know, even 10 identical looking apartment communities in the same market, they don't have the same problem at the same time, because this one might have a lot of two beds and this one might have a lot of studios and this one might have three beds to get rid of, and they might come up at different times of year. And When you think about all that complexity, that's ultimately to do with the fact that we sell our product for 12 months at a time.
Right.
It becomes very, very difficult to it's very difficult to manage one property to try and do that across a dozen is orders of magnitude more complicated than that.
All right. Well, we're going to break it here. We're going to be back right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call eConserve today at 713-662-3220 for a free analysis of your property. That's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
We are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. We're discussing the topic of how multifamily pricing actually works. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me in the studio is an expert on the topic of multifamily pricing, the fabulous Don Beveridge, a principal with 20 for 20. I do want to make a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that makes multifamily possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. HappyCo, multifamily solutions to smile about. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. And Allegiant, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. So I know that we talked in the last segment about how revenue management really works. Let's talk a little bit about why the industry kind of gets carried away with rent increases. Every owner I talk to, every executive I talk to, you know, one of their main goals is driving rents. So let's talk about how they get carried away.
Yeah, I've really noticed this since I kind of started to publish stuff about this from last October onwards. I guess I'm in a slightly unusual position in the industry because I don't work for anyone who's on either side of this lawsuit. I happen to have 25 years or something of direct experience in revenue management. I kind of get to experience this conversation maybe a bit more publicly than most people can, but one of the things I've really noticed through this is there's something that's very culturally different about multifamily in the way that they think about revenue management, and that's mostly to do with them being very fixated on rent increases. You sort of notice from people within the industry, right, their response to the stuff that's being said about the industry and in the news is, you hear things like, well, revenue management is about increasing rents, so the bit about increasing rents must be true. And it's you realize that there's a piece of knowledge and understanding like missing from people who advocate views like that. It's definitely true that revenue management sometimes sets prices higher than you otherwise would, right? Because if you're using an analytical system that sets prices, it's going to do things that are different from what you would do. And sometimes that entails putting prices up, and sometimes that entails putting prices down. But nobody focuses on anything other than the instances where we increase prices. Mm-hmm. It's obvious why an outlet like ProPublica focuses on this, right? They're using the fact that we have a housing shortage in the U.S. We have, although this has abated a lot in the last year or so, like for much of the last decade, we've had this housing affordability crisis. Very, very easy for an activist publication with a particular political viewpoint to go find people who are really struggling to pay rent, right? So it's really obvious why an outlet like that would focus on that particular thing. But within the industry, I think the cultural force that makes people think about revenue management this way is the fact that we're a balance sheet industry, right? We're an industry that's more about property deals than it is about operations. If you go into an airline or you go into a hotel company, there's many people in the C-suite whose background was running operations, right? It's just got much more of an operational culture. Because most of the people in senior positions in multifamily are from the deal side of the industry, rent increases have this incredible salience, right? Mm-hmm. Rent increases impact the prices of properties when I buy or sell them. If I look at a rent roll, my ability to achieve a rent pop, be it through renovations, be it through better management or whatever, is very central to what I see my value prop as being as a multifamily company. And I think it just completely causes people to miss what revenue management is mostly about, mm-hmm. right? Revenue management is mostly about what we talked about in the last segment, right? It's positioning this inventory of units to sort of best capitalize on the demand that's out there in the market. And that means you have to do this combination of this combination of discounting and increasing prices when the market allows you to do so to generate the most revenue that you can. A good way, I think, to think about it is there's this relationship between prices and occupancy, right? It's like pulling on two ends of the same piece of string, mm-hmm. right? So if I increase my prices, there's always a cost in terms of occupancy. If I lower my, if I gain occupancy, I lower my prices, but there's obviously a cost in terms of revenue to doing that. And it's the job of the revenue manager to sort of pull on the two ends of the piece of string and find the position where we're going to get the best outcome. If you went into a meeting about revenue management in a hotel company, nobody is talking about price increases. Mm-hmm. I mean, you talk about price increases in terms of how you react to the market or how you deal with particular situations, but most of the conversation is about how you build the next year of occupancy so that you protect yourself from the substantial losses that you would make during periods where there just isn't much demand about. It's just really hard to fill hotels on Sunday nights. It's really hard to fill corporate hotels during the holidays. It's you're dealing primarily with problems like that. You wouldn't hear most of the airtime in a revenue management meeting being about increasing prices. We all know that there are many occasions when hotels and airlines increase their prices substantially. But if you really pay attention to it, you realize that most of the work that's being done is about trying to accommodate that demand on the nights where you really, really, really need people to book your stuff. And that balance, any revenue manager in the multifamily industry gets that, right? Because they understand that's what you have to do in order to maximize revenue. But I think from a leadership perspective, not enough people really understand that.
Yeah, I mean, and the hotel industry really is looking at their trying to fill rooms. I mean, they're just trying to fill rooms on a short-term basis, whereas in multifamily, you've got the long-term. Talk a little bit about outperformance and rent increases.
Yeah, well, this is another sort of unhelpful thing that you see. I mean, this was quite a big thread in the ProPublica article, is they use quotes about companies saying that they outperform the market as if that means the same thing as they increase their rent above the market. Now, on its face, it sort of doesn't make sense, but it's worth unpacking why. So the company that they quoted was talking about how their revenue performance, right, so how much money I made over a given period in the past, was greater than my competitors. So again, what they believe they're doing, that company, is that when they pull on those two ends of the same string, so when they're balancing occupancy and rent, they do so more effectively, so they make more money for every unit that they have available than their competitors do. And that's how you should measure revenue management. It doesn't really matter whether your prices are higher than your competitors or not. It matters how much money you made.
Yeah.
And that's some combination of occupancy and rent that gets you there. when we talk about rent increases, we're literally just talking about your price being higher than the market. And again, your price can be higher than the market, but you end up making less money because you couldn't find people to rent at that price. Because again, the ProPublica and everything that followed it sort of characterizes the market as if people can't tell what everybody's rents are in the market. Like if I put my price really high for rents, people are just going to go to my competitors. That's how pricing works. And even if I manage to rent to somebody at a rent that's higher than it would otherwise be, they're going to move out after a year, right? They're going to give you an occupancy problem a year from now when you may or may not have the opportunity to rent at an attractive rate. Mm-hmm. So basically everything sort of favors the people who are the smartest about, all right, well, I don't want to take unnecessary risks with by pricing too high. I'll tell you one thing, just having worked for years doing revenue management consulting for multifamily companies, the most common project that we did was always somebody calling us to say, we've been using this revenue management software for years. We don't know if we're making money out of it. Can you come help us figure it out? The biggest problem you always find is the company that got really fixated on driving rent increases is the one that's not making any money out of revenue management. Because what happens is you'll make a load of money during the peak periods of the market. But as soon as the market softens, you end up giving that money right back to the market because you have to discount to get people to to rent your apartments because you didn't spot that the market was softening and you would have been better off dropping your price rather than sticking to your guns. So the sort of fixation with rent increases is not helpful generally for revenue management, and it's particularly not helpful when you've got activists and lawyers out there accusing the industry of price fixing.
Well, we're going to be back with our final segment of this episode right after this short break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Rev, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book Rev's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let Rev drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let Rev be your long-term leasing solution. Go to RevLMC.com to find out more. That's RevLMC.com. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire Rev today.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials, or maybe you're worried about a pending audit? Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and AppFolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of how multifamily pricing actually works. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio as an expert regarding multifamily pricing, the awesome Don Beveridge, a principal with 20 for 20. I do want to take a moment and thank some of our other sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Balanced Asset Solutions, CPAs with expertise in multifamily property management. DirecTV, the ultimate entertainment experience, is now available to all multifamily residents. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry. And CTS, Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. Dom, during the break, we talked a little bit about, you and I both attended recently, the Blueprint Real Estate Conference in Las Vegas last month. And one of the panel discussions that we sat in on was talking about short-term rentals. How does that short-term rentals affecting, if at all, pricing and revenue management, or is that is an attractant for companies to look at that to try and fill in when they have some of those issues where they can't get what they want?
Yeah, that was a fascinating panel, actually. And generally, it's interesting because it's sort of back, isn't it? Short-term rentals. I remember back in sort of 2018, 2019, that was this really sort of hot area. There were lots of companies getting into that business. And then, of course, COVID happened and it all fell off a cliff. Mm-hmm. And now it's back, but it's back and sort of different. That group of companies that we heard talking at the Blueprint Conference, it's fascinating how sort of far into the future they're looking with this, right? It's clearly something that people think is going to become a bigger and bigger part of multifamily. I mean, you've even got you've got REITs and companies like that talking about how they see the next phase of this being like product engineering, right? We're going to start thinking about what changes we make to our actual communities to run in an environment where some of those units are always going to be short-term rentals. I think it's fascinating because I've got a revenue management background, and I just view it as another segment of demand. Mm-hmm. Right? It's I've got my fixed capacity of assets. My job is to make as much money as I can off those assets. And in some markets, it's only a small subset of markets, but in some markets, that means part of my revenue mix should be these short-term rentals that are typically going to get a higher daily rate than long-term leases. So, revenue management is so much about balancing your supply against what demand is out there in the market. If we predict that there are going to be more and more people looking for, to rent for a week or to rent for a few months or to do something other than take out a 12-month lease, we should be figuring out how to address that. And that's what those guys seem to be doing. I've got no idea how widespread it gets in the industry. I mean, the accounts we heard of how people are approaching it suggest that there's a lot of analysis behind this, right? They're looking, the people that are doing it are looking at markets where there's a strong, like, local hotel market, but mm-hmm. there's evidence of sort of squeezed demand, like a periods where there aren't enough hotel rooms to satisfy demand, which is sort of logical. So mm-hmm. even if you think about it from the perspective of taking overspill from conventional hotels, so that means you can sort of imagine some of the markets where that's going to be more versus less applicable. But yeah, I absolutely think it's a revenue management. It's an important thing for revenue management.
Okay. Well, we've got about 5.5 minutes left in this segment before I want to transition to another topic. But let's talk a little bit about what do you think the multifamily industry needs to learn and relearn about revenue management?
Yeah, I mean, couple of things. So first of all, on the technology side, important thing to understand is revenue management software doesn't make the weather. In fact, revenue management generally doesn't make the weather. Like we talked earlier before about this, there's just not that much you can do about, there being sources of employment in your local market, it being the winter versus the spring. Like there's not that much you can do about the things that overall drive demand. What you can do is price your product to the point where you're going to make the best of what's out there in the market. So we were talking about how I think people tend to think about revenue management software like Uber surge pricing. Again, that Uber surge pricing wouldn't work because of that thing we were talking about, you know, pulling the two ends of the same rope. You have to understand the cost to occupancy of every pricing decision you make. A much better comparison to think about is the game Tetris. Mm-hmm. You know, where you're getting the blocks are falling and you have to move them into a position, and that's much more like what people are doing when they do revenue management. It's just instead of twisting the blocks, you're moving prices of different things so that you know there are fewer and fewer gaps in your on the board. So that's a much better way to think about it. Like, revenue management has no ability to make there be more demand than there otherwise would be. It's purely a device to help you manage. The other thing, and we write about this in the white paper. A few years ago, this is back when I was with LRO, we did this really, really cool piece of analysis. Some of the techies there got this data set. You know, by this time there were thousands of communities that had been using LRO for years, and the tech team got this, you know, created this set of data of all of the settings that people use. So LRO had at that time maybe 200 different settings to change how the pricing algorithm works. And it used that data to figure out how are people using this software. So based on where they set all of those dials, what are they using this software to do? Mm-hmm. And what we found was that over multiple years, over thousands of properties, there are basically five different ways that people compete with one another. Again, if you think of that idea of collusion, which is all about people doing the same thing, when the software has 200 different ways that you can nuance the way that the pricing works to compete against your competitors, it's pretty obvious that the revenue management software is not helping you to collude. It's helping you to do the exact opposite. Right. But basically there were five ways that people did it. And I recommend that people download the paper, and we referenced the original study in it as well. But, you know, there are five, we called them personas that the communities follow. There's the occupancy defender, right? So the company that primarily just doesn't want to have vacancy. So they tend to resist all but the lowest risk price increases, because, you know, if you think about somebody like a family office or somebody that owns a property that doesn't necessarily have to grow revenue all that aggressively, but they also, you know, don't want to lose money, they would go into this mode that you call the occupancy defender. The slightly more aggressive and by far the most common way that people revenue manage is what we call the balance pricer. So again, that's somebody that primarily doesn't want to incur vacancy, but they're always looking out for opportunities to push rent up. So they're the ones that are really carefully pulling the two ends of the same string that we talked about. There's the vacancy allergic. So that's, again, if we think back to our big properties, you know, the 1,000 unit properties or whatever, where any vacancy can be extremely costly to you. They typically look far into the future, and any time they see a risk of vacancy, they act very, very proactively to avoid it. Mm-hmm. That's what we call the vacancy allergic. There's the rent driver, which is, you know, typically if you imagine a property that's being prepared for sale, you really want the rent roll to look as good as it can. So you're going to take bigger risks than you otherwise would. You're also, you know, that thing we talked about earlier, where if you price too aggressively, people are going to move out in a year. If I'm preparing a property for sale, I'm less concerned about that than I would be if I'm going to hold this property for years. So the rent driver is a bit of an edge case, but it's definitely a way that people do it. And then the final one was the lease up, right? Lease ups have a very, very different set of pricing strategies. It's basically everything you don't want as a revenue manager, right? you get these lumps of inventory arriving at slightly unpredictable times. You have this problem where if you don't lease up in a year, your renewals start to compete with your new rents, and it's they call it the terrible twos if you get into the second year of that. And so basically those five personas cover the range of different revenue management strategies that people people do. But it's just worth people just thinking about that, internalizing it, and understanding that, you know, notice how everything I just talked about, only one out of five of those things are to do with driving rent up.
Right.
Right. It's really worth people understanding what the other four things are, because that's most of what revenue management is all about.
Okay. Well, I want to transition out of this topic. We could talk about this more, and perhaps we'll have another episode to talk about this. But let's discuss a little bit about what you're doing, what 20 for 20 is. People need to know about it. Obviously, if they go to the episode page on our website at multifamilyradio.com, there'll be the 20 for 20 logo. If you click on it, it'll take them directly to your website. But talk a little bit about what you're doing, and how people can reach you if they want to.
Yeah, so the easiest way to reach me is just to come to the website, 20for20.com. That's 20for20.com. Or to find me on LinkedIn or on Twitter at Dom Beveridge. 20 for 20, it's a consultancy. We predominantly work on multifamily technology. So I work with clients to help them solve various, you know, market engagement, go-to-market, demand generation problems. And I also publish a lot of industry thought leadership content. So, you know, the idea of the blog is to try and understand what's important that's going on in the industry right now, what I think people who are curious about technology should be looking at, I publish stuff. Obviously, you and I talk every year in about March time of each year. Each February, I publish the 20 for 20 white paper, which is where we interview 20 leaders and get them to tell us what they're working on in terms of operations and technology. Just basically anything that's to do with operations and technology that I don't think the industry understands as well as it should, I tend to try and bridge that gap.
Well, there's a lot of great information in those white papers, and you've got an article that's just coming out right now in MFE, correct?
Yeah, that came out yesterday, and it's about the stuff that we talked about today. So you got a bit of an exclusive on that.
All right. Well, it's great to have you here. We look forward to having you back again soon. But we're going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.